is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
It's Guardian AM here on the 96.9 FM Guardian Radio Station. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is now live. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. Of course, I am not C.A. Nuri. He may pop in. We don't know. He may pop in. But in any event, he got me driving this morning. And I'm happy to be here with you for another Tuesday edition of Guardian AM. Of course, we are continuing our conversation regarding African Holocaust Month during the month of October. I have a special guest that I'm going to be bringing in short order. But before I do that, I just want to... I'm sure we've been, you know, hearing about the reports of the storm in the southern and central Bahamas. So we want to make sure that we keep those people in prayer. You know, storms are never something that we want to go through. However, they are a necessary part of life. Obviously, we go through them. So we want to keep those people in prayer. And then, of course, we want to ask you to be safe. On the streets, I've been seeing some really, crazy accidents. People, you know, literally the car on the side, and you know, it's just you can't get your car on the side like that without speeding. So let's make sure we slow down. You know, the roads are a little bit more congested than they used to be, but let's slow down and make sure we get where we want. What they say, drive to arrive alive. Yeah. Of course, today we are also being heard on GuardianTalkRadio.com. For those people who may not like me, like you don't have that band expander in your car, so you got to listen on the app. You know, you can listen on the app. Today's text line is powered by BTC 422GR96. That's 422-4796, and we'll open up the phone lines after we speak with our guests for a bit. Make sure that she is in place. Her name is Miss Azandi Ashanti. Kermit, let me know whenever she jumped up. I want to introduce her before I bring her in. But Miss Azandi Ashanti Ali is a mother. She's your daughter. A sister, a wife. She's completed schooling for being a medical assistant, and she continues through continuing education on that path. She's an author of an awe-inspiring book, Repletion of Power, which aims to reassess your life and challenge the way society has programmed people to think, which is part of the conversation today. She's also the co-host of the Jewels Life podcast and The Vantage Point, where she has interviewed people such as Dr. Ji Genti. He's the psychiatrist. I don't know if you remember last year where they had some serial killer, I guess that's what I would call it, one of the school shooters that went into the school, and then the police didn't go into the school. They for whatever reason, they couldn't get into the school. Well, Ji Genti, he actually dealt with that situation. Dr. Elaine Ferguson, another great psychiatrist. These are people who she's interviewed. Kahun Mantuta, the right pastor out of UK. Music producer, Jack Knight. Attorney, Joribu Hill, who was the attorney for the Emmett Till case. and the likes. So she's interviewed many high-profile people. As an interviewer, she pushes the bar. I know I've been on that show too. By asking the uncomfortable questions and necessary questions to provoke the conversations that will lead to life-altering, liberating information for her listeners. She's a member of the Holy Coptic Church, where she is a key contributor to the A.J. Vollmer team and the media department. She's also a panelist of many events that speak to the improvement conditions that Black people face globally every day, such as the Ladies of Purpose Conference, Love Creation, and, of course, the African Holocaust Month, and so much more. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Sister Azandi Ashanti. Namaste, my sister. How are you?
Namaste. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well. You see, you're coming in loud and clear. I pray that your day has started beautifully and that things are going well on your end. And so we're grateful to have you. So that was a little bit about who you are. You're a diverse person, and you know, normally you're the one interviewing me, but I guess I get the the rabbit got the gun, right?
Pay back the favor. Okay.
Yeah. So I just want to give our listeners an opportunity to get to know you, because you have a very wonderful podcast that I think people should be aware of, so that they can subscribe to it through Spotify. I want to kind of get a feeling behind why you do what you do. I know you don't only do a podcast, but I want to start there. But what got you into the podcast space? And tell everybody the name of it and how they can become a part of the journey, if you don't mind.
Yes, thank you. First off, I want to thank yourself, Kahuna Uncle, and the Guardian Talk Radio for even having me here today. Mm-hmm. What inspired me to create the podcast, originally it was myself and another, was, you know, there's so many things happening in the world around us. And the things that really need to be addressed, most people don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. And most people, especially in the age range between 20s and 30s, going into the early 40s, you know, when you see people of those ages, they normally are promoting the narrative of, you know, I'm an independent woman, or I'm a man and I don't need a woman, or, you know, the roles, or all things that are not progressive towards who we are and where we should be. And so when I look and see that there is a problem that we are having, there's a huge problem that we're faced with as melanated people. And we know that it begins with the youth. We know that it begins with how the young people are being taught, how they're being raised into becoming adults. The program did not start as adults. The program was already instilled a long time ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I felt it was my need, my responsibility to fill the gap, right? And to try to bring to the space of the internet and to just people of the diaspora, melanated people of the diaspora, a new way of thinking, a new way of perceiving the world, so that we can make the changes necessary and, you know, to fulfill our destiny and our purpose.
Yes, yes. And you mentioned this program, and I just want to be clear about what you mean when you're saying that. You talk about a program that's been instilled from the youth, from you know, all of us have experienced some form of programming. When you mention this term programming, just guide us on what you mean when you say that.
Yes. So when we look at the term programming, mm-hmm. right, a lot of people, melanated men and women, are faced with a system called racism, white supremacy.
Okay.
And racism, white supremacy in itself is a program. It programs you to a way of thinking. It programs you to a way of behaving. It programs you to a way to interact with self and kind. It programs you in a way to which to identify yourself. So this programming is something that you take a young child, right? Mm-hmm. And when you have this young child, you have to first teach them how to walk, how to talk, how to dress, how to think. Mm-hmm. And as they see their parents, that's their first contact of what that program should be. Mm-hmm. And if their parent is not innately themselves as they their origins has taught them to be, as their culture has identified them to be, they already been misprogrammed.
Wow.
And then you put them in a school system where the teacher most of the time is not of self and kind, right? Mm-hmm. We have teachers of every other race, so they're seeing them to be the authority. When they look at the figures on TV, right, the influencers, most of the time they either are not of self and kind, or the ones that are don't look like self and kind in its natural. So all of this is a part of the programming, the nursery rhymes, the different things that we tell the children that they should feel, that they should think. And most of the time it's not that of African origins. It's not that of, you know, just our natural state of being. So this programming begins to shift us away from our dynamic of how we can live in a self-sustained system to self-govern ourselves, and to what Baba Elijah Muhammad says is to be self-sufficient. Because if we're misprogrammed, then we're never going to do that which is necessary for us to be self-sufficient.
Right, and that seems like that's the ultimate goal rather, in terms of unraveling. And Miss Malinke, what I want to be clear, Sister Zan, I want to be clear on is, you know, everything that you're talking about. I live here in the Bahamas, but I've lived in the United States. I've visited countries in Europe, throughout Central America, the Caribbean, etc. And I know I have personally seen the effects of this programming everywhere that I go. I think sometimes for people who may not have had a chance to actually travel, or may not have been paying attention while they were traveling, sometimes we get this idea that we're in it by ourselves, right? A person in a particular state in the U.S. may think, well, this is only happening to me. A person here in the Bahamas on a particular island may think, oh, this is happening to me. Or they may say, man, this doesn't really relate to me, because here in the Bahamas, you know, most of the teachers look like us. You know what I mean? So sometimes people say, well, that's not really, you know, that doesn't really affect me. What do you have to say to somebody who's saying something like that?
Well, you know, there is a BB, Marimba Annie. And what she says and what she teaches is that we have to be self-naming. We have to define for ourselves. But another thing that she makes clear to us
. All right, I don't know if we lose her. All right, we'll get sister. Sorry? Oh, just on
mute. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you now. I think you were muted. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
We heard you talk about Marimba Annie, and she said become self-naming, and then we lost you.
Yes. Yes. She mentions about us becoming self-naming. But she also says that she talks about I am because you are, right? A lot of times melanated people, because they're not directly or feel like they're directly impacted by something, they're so disconnected from that thing.
Wow.
Right. But what she says is I am because you are. Mm-hmm. If we are of one people, then my struggle is your struggle.
Right.
And because someone feels that it's not their personal experience, right? If a police officer shoots my uncle, I have a personal emotional connection to that event.
Right.
But because it wasn't your uncle, now you feel separated from that part of racism, white supremacy that has impacted not just me, but us on a global scale.
Right.
But because it doesn't really mean much to you. And that's a problem that we face. A lot of times it's three things that's happening. Is disassociation, cognitive dissonance, and what we call ignorance. Wow. And we know here at the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, we are fighting ignorance.
Yes.
And that's a part of the programming. The programming programs you to be ignorant. Mm. It programs you to see what's not there, to hear other than what is really being said. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing to what you should see and hearing opposite. So when something is right in front of your face and you are disassociating it from it, then you have a disconnection. It is a disconnect from the true feelings that you should feel towards that situation. Mm. You're disconnected from the self-identity of those who look like you. And so this is what we're faced with. Disassociation, cognitive dissonance, and ignorance.
Disassociation, cognitive dissonance, and ignorance. So these three things are global, and they're affecting melanated people at a level that is causing us to remain dependent on a society, on a system that does our best interests at hand, right? And so you mentioned earlier, as you were talking, like this idea of roles, right? We see this idea of the independent woman or the independent man. We see where in many instances, even the idea of being married is kind of being bantered about as, you know, I don't really need to do that. You know, that's not really. Is this also a part of this programming?
Yes, that's when I mentioned Bibi Maremba Annie and the self-naming, right? What mm-hmm. I was alluding to is that we have all of our natural ways in which we should interact with each other as mm. men and as men and women, right? Melanated men and women have been changed, mm. right? So we have to define for ourselves what it means to be a Black lady in this world, what it means to be a Black man in this world. Mm. And that's the self-naming. Because when someone takes you from your land and they change your language, mm. and they change your dress, mm. and they change everything about you, now you have to redefine for yourself what that looks like,
okay.
and what that should be. So when he tells you to say, I'm an independent woman, mm. that means that, one, you already are disassociating yourself from the Black family dynamic, because African theology is we believe in man, woman, and child. We don't separate any. We talk about the family.
Mm.
Right. But what society tells you is, no, it's about me as a woman, and I am independent, have my own money, have my own car, have my own clothes, and I don't need a man.
Mm.
And as a man, I want to be a six figure man. And, you know, they say girls ain't. I'm trying to watch my verbiage here. You know, they say that, you know, I can do bros over.
Right. Right.
That's what they say. Right.
Right. Right. So, right.
That already puts you in a mentality mm. that we can we can exist around each other without having an intimate relationship with each other, and then think that we're going to raise a child to be in it. Right.
Right. Right. So
how does that work? Because you already broke up the family.
Wow.
When you took on that mentality. So to understand self-naming and to understand how we have to redefine and say, no, what before we came in contact with the European, with the Indo-Aryan, with the Caucasian Anglo, before we came in contact with any type of colonization, subjugation, what did that look like for us?
Right.
And then go back towards that. And that will tell, because your culture is your identity. It should tell you who you are, what you should look like, what you should dress like, what you should act like, what you should think like. It's a foundation that's already set.
Right. But I agree with you 100%, but there are times where people say to me, but that's, you know, uncle, that's living in the past. You know what I mean? Like we modern people today, you know what I mean? We don't need to go and live in the past. In fact, when you start to talk all this stuff, you're causing hate, you're causing division, you're causing people to regress, right? I mean, how do you juxtapose a statement like that to what you just said? Because, I mean, I would love to have the families in our communities, you know, back together again. But it seems like modernity says, you know, I'm independent. So what do you say? What do you say to this?
Okay, well, if that was the thoughts of the past, then what has this modern way of thinking done for us? So if we have a modern way of thinking, then we should see the results in a beneficial way for us as a people from this modern way of thinking. Mm. But if we as a people are still worshiping a God that doesn't look like us, if we as a people are still not in control of our economics, if we as a people are still not in control of our labor, who we work for, if we're still not in control of our relationships with each other, mm. if we're still not in control of our education system, if we're still not in control of our laws and how we're governed, if we're still not in our what we call war security and our the way we protect ourselves and police ourselves, if we're still not in control of our politics, then what is that modern way of thinking doing for us? Mm. So that in itself is a disassociation. See, disassociation is a mental process that involves a disconnection from a thought, from one's feelings, from the memories, and from self-identity. Mm-hmm. So you are so disconnected from it, or you may just have cognitive dissonance. You may just feel uncomfortable that what you want to do is opposite to what we're telling you the right thing is to do.
Right.
Because when you say that this is what we should be doing, the only way you can justify doing something opposite is if you're connected to that new reality. If you say, no, I enjoy this society. Mm. I enjoy what it gives to me. I enjoy sitting in the mirror and putting on my lashes and putting on my skin tight clothes and walking outside and trying to become, you know, pretend to be something that I'm not. You have to say, I actually enjoy having a man every month and every other 2 weeks, or as a man having 20 different women a month. And I enjoy this. This is fun.
Right.
Nobody wants to get rid of the fun. Mm. So that's cognitive.
Wow.
If I have a cigarette in my hand mm-hmm. and I know it says on the pack that it causes cancer.
Right.
What is it that would allow me to still put that cigarette in my mouth?
Wow.
If it's not cognitive dissonance, it's because the reality of what it's telling you creates discomfort from what you should be doing.
Right. Right.
Because it's contradictory to what you should be doing. Mm. So people have to come to the terms of, no, is it really that it's modern times and it's, you know, that's the thing of the past? Or right. are you okay with the modern times?
Wow.
Are you having too much fun to disconnect from what he gave you? Like the package of racism, white supremacy.
My Lord.
You like the system of racism, white supremacy. You want to be in that system. And that's okay, but say that. Don't say that I'm giving you the thing of the past. Just say, I like what I like the white man system.
Right. Just listen.
Keep it real, all the way real. Yeah. I like what some people say, my white daddy.
323-622-3252-325-4316 325-4259. We got a text that just came in. The text line, of course, is 422-4796. Powered by BTC. All right, Sister Zandi. So we got a text that came in. I want to throw this at you to get your response. It says, this happened, you know, everything we're talking about now, this happened to the Jews, the Native Americans, and the Africans, and every enslaved people from the dawn of time. The oppressor removes everything that unifies the captives as one people. It's not unique to Africans. It's not a massive conspiracy against the black man. What say you?
Mm. Well, yes, there are other races and cultures that have been subjugated. But if you look around the world today, which race is the race that's still at the bottom of the totem pole?
Wow.
Which race still doesn't control every part of their life? Which race still has not been able to do for themselves what China has been able to do for themselves, mm-hmm. what India has been able to do for themselves, mm-hmm. what Europe has been able to do for themselves. Mm-hmm. So when we say it's not a conspiracy,
right.
you have to ask yourself, what is it? What is it called?
Right.
The second I step up and say, no, I believe in Yahshua Kress, who looks like me, is a black man with an afro. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I say that, someone stands up and says, that's racist.
Wow.
Oh, aren't you taking it a bit too far? Mm. Do they say that to the Chinaman? Because in China, even though there's forms of Christianity there, their God still looks Chinese. They have not allowed that image to change.
Right.
Something you can go online and look at. They did not change the image. Mm-hmm. They say you can come in, but it's going to be under our eye, watchful eye, and this is exactly how we're going to control your presence in our country.
Wow, I didn't even know that. I didn't know they got a Chinese Jesus, basically.
Wow. Yes, and if you look at it, it looks just like them. But wow. We're the only person that wants to look at something other than ourself and kind. We have to understand, no, it didn't just happen to us, but everyone else has enslaved us.
Wow.
Everyone has had their hand in African enslavement.
Mm. Mm.
So can whoever said that, can the Chinese say the same? Can the Indians say the same?
Wow.
The Indo-Aryans say the same? Can the Europeans say the same? We're the only race that can say that everyone has had their hands in African enslavement.
Wow.
They don't talk about the Arab enslavement.
No.
They don't tell you about that. People just talk about the transatlantic slave trade and the European. Everyone else had their hand in making money from the selling of Black bodies.
Wow.
Can we talk about that? So, yeah, I believe that it's not just a conspiracy, but what we see is to be our reality.
I agree. Let's run to some phone calls now. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259, of course, in the family of islands. 242-300-5720. That's toll free. Kermit, let's take this first caller for Sister Azandi. Caller, you're on the Guardian AM with C.A. Nuri.
Yes, as well.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Good to be in the land of the living God is good.
Amen. That's right.
And, you know, Anku, your guest made a statement that I would like for her to explain it a little bit more.
Yeah, she's listening. Go ahead.
She said something. She said that we worship a God that don't look like us. Insinuating that we ought to have images of God, a Black God, a white God, a green God, a brown God. I worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible reads that God is a spirit,
mm-hmm.
and we must worship him in spirit and truth. Mm-hmm. And he told us not to make any images of him.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, it said that no man had seen God at any time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what God looks like.
Right.
People have tried to interpret in their understanding and paint so-called pictures of God, but no man has seen God.
Mm.
Right?
So you want to give her a chance to respond? Yes. You want to stay on the line? Mm-hmm. All right, Sister Zandi, what say you?
Yes, and thank you. I want to thank the caller for asking that question. And Genesis 1:26 speaks about, I have made man in my image and after my likeness.
Mm.
And so if we're in the image and likeness of God or of the Most High, then that means that there should be something as melanated people that's a representation of what that God looks like. Mm. It speaks in Revelations 1:15. It speaks about the Messiah having feet of burnt brass and woolly hair. So that is giving us a specific image of what the representation of God should look like.
Mm.
And because everywhere I go, besides the Holy Coptic Church, is the first time I've seen an image of the Messiah painted black with an afro. It's the first time I've seen it. Every church that I visited, I see a white Jesus. Every time I come in contact with a Muslim that's speaking about Muhammad, it's a white image.
Mm.
Moses, it's a white image. So when I spoke about earlier the programming, is that if everything you see, especially that which is supposed to be in the image and likeness of God, is opposite of you, it already makes me feel inferior.
Mm.
How can I feel that God is in me and I'm a portion of the Most High if the Most High doesn't look, everything that I'm given is opposite to what I look like?
Wow.
And then say, why do Black people feel inferior?
Wow.
So I believe the Bible gives us a description. And for us to reclaim our power and for us to have a sense of self and a sense of identity, we have to know that, yes, when we draw the Messiah, it's very important for the Messiah to look like us.
Mm.
Because you're saying that this is the child of God.
Wow.
And, you know, Miss
Malinky. Her name is Miss Malinky.
Malinke, I concurred you in some respect, but, you know, Les Brown said his teacher, Mr. Robinson, told him that, you know, people's opinion of you don't have to become your reality. And yes, we have gone through the ravages of slavery where we were, our ancestors were taken from their homes, stripped of their identity. But I feel like, Angelo. Mm. Yet still we rise, you know. Yes, we have gone through some things, but out of that, we've been able to take, in some instances, our lemons and make lemonade of it. And so and we need to be conscious of our blackness. We are who we are. We can't change that. We can't go back into the past and change any of that. But we can move forward with our heads hung high and keep on moving towards our destiny. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Carla, for your input. Thank you, Sister Azana. You wanted to respond to that?
Yes, mm-hmm. I did. I just wanted to say, and I do appreciate that comment. Mm-hmm. But what we have to understand is I have two children of my own, mm-hmm. right? I have nieces, I have nephews. I have other children of our church, our Kanisa, and we're children.
Wow.
Our children are living in a society where when they step outside the door, they're at war. Yeah. Psychological warfare. Mm-hmm. Physical warfare, yep. And we have to save their lives. Mm-hmm. And that makes us have to do what it's a Baba Neely Fuller. He says the counter racist code. Mm-hmm. So it's to counter the racism. Mm-hmm. So if everywhere I go, I see a white image, I have to counter it with a black image. Mm. So no, we don't have to live in the past, but we have to understand that the past is now. The fact that we think that it's only the past means that we're not living in reality. Mm. These are things that are happening now. This is African Holocaust Month. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at the things that we're faced with today. If it didn't matter, they wouldn't be trying to get rid of your history. If it didn't matter, they wouldn't be trying to get rid of the Bibis and the Babas and the leaders that came before us and stood up and gave a change and a message to push us towards progression as a people, so they wouldn't take that away if it wasn't a threat and if it didn't mean anything. That's so right. I would love to say it was a thing of the past. I would love it because it would make what we're living much easier.
But
the reality is that it's happening to us now because no one can change my experience. You know, no phone call, no caller can change what I had to live because mm-hmm. I've seen it from the time that I stepped foot outside my door as a young teenager till now. I've seen it. I've lived it. Mm-hmm. I have people shot in front of me just because they're black.
Wow.
So I can't say that it's a thing of the past when, you know, I feel it. I'm living it right now today.
Wow. Wow. 323-622-3254-316-325-4259. Let's run to the next caller here on Guardian AM with C.A. Nuri. My name is Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III. We're listening. You're hearing the voice of Sister Azandi Malinke. And she's sharing some powerful insights with us today. She's taking your phone calls and your texts at this moment. So let's take the next caller, please, Kermit.
Good morning, Anku.
Good morning, Namastu. How you doing?
Namastu. And good morning to your guest, Ms. Malinke.
Yes.
Good morning.
I was listening to the previous caller, and like you say, it's written in the Bible, the description of what Christ should look like. Mm-hmm. I think it's up to us to take that description, because the Bible was your piece, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they didn't take that piece out. It's probably because they knew everybody would look past it. But if you look at the description, they give you what the description of Christ looks like. Mm. We, in turn, or persons who went and painted the picture of the white Jesus, did what they wanted to do. But the Bible itself, what they rewrote, told you what Christ look like? Mm. That's the description right there.
Mm.
You understand? Mm. And for the fact where he was mentioning that we don't probably see things that happen to others or feel things that happen to others as if it happened to us, it's a part of how from generation to generation what I see as the way we were groomed. Because remember in slavery time, the violence that transpired between the master and the slave was done openly.
Mm.
The children were being ripped from their mother's newborn openly.
Mm.
And these things were done over a period of time to the point where we grow, it hurt tolerance to it. And then after a while, it's like you're a person seeing it done, then seeing it done for so long, they just ignore it.
Wow.
Because it no longer sticks with us. Because it's become like if you, like when you train to do, say, karate or weightlifting, mm-hmm. at first it gets a bit painful. Mm-hmm. And even though it's still painful, after a while, it gets tolerable.
Mm.
Because you are mentally getting or becoming immune to the feeling.
Wow.
That's how I see it.
Appreciate
but like you say, the Bible told us in his image, in his likeness, and then it says what he looks like. So the description of what he looks like is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's for you to see.
Right.
That's why, you understand me? So that's how I see it.
I appreciate that, caller. Much thank you. You want to say anything to that, Sister Azandi?
She was a bit muffled. I heard pieces of what she was saying,
okay.
But she was a bit muffled for me.
Okay.
So what she
agreed with your response to that first caller, and she was saying that mm-hmm. the actual image is in the Bible. Clearly, they didn't take it out, but it's up to mm-hmm. us now to use that image to benefit us, essentially, is what she was saying.
Okay. Yes.
Let's run to the next call, Kermit, and then we're going to take some more texts.
Okay.
Good morning, caller.
Yes, good day, Brother Anku, and good day to your guest.
Good day, my brother. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I totally am in total agreement with your guest today, Brother Anku.
Okay.
Yes, total agreement, but mm-hmm. I mean, she was stating the condition of us as black people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was 100% right. But I want to tell the caller quickly who called, but not who was talking with the description. The best description that you can look for, my sister, is to look for who's the King of Kings.
Mm.
And look for who's the true King of Kings. That because all physical description, other people could fit certain physical description, but only one person can be the King of Kings, my love. Seek who that is, and go from there. But the gentleman who called, talking about him as an individual
mm-hmm.
and the contributions that he makes in terms of the condition of the country and how he understands certain things,
mm-hmm.
right? But what I want him to understand is that as hard as this may seem to him, right, my brother, you know, me and Anku, we know that Bible, we, you know, Francis and Anku grew up on that just like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you start, so we don't need for them to give us a lesson in it. What we need for them to do is to listen as to why we disagree to what they're dealing with.
Mm.
You understand where I come from, Anku?
Yeah.
And the reality of it is that he needs to understand that we got this thing in slavery, and he's acting as if, okay, you know, just let's forget about it because, you know, we're not doing as bad as we used to do. You know, a lot of people like to brag, I mean, feel as if they come from outside, tell it, the inside, tell it. You hear them talk about that as if that's the kind of progress that makes us a people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not about that. Look at the society that we're living in. You know what I mean? Wouldn't you trade those material things to be able to sleep with your door open again?
Mm.
You understand where I come from, my brother?
Yeah.
But I mean, what I want to tell him is that, brother, we serve the same God as a slave master. When the young lady was saying to God, not in our image, we serve the same God as our slave master, my brother.
Mm.
We have been in slavery for 400 plus years, like the people in the Bible, my brother. You notice what they did. They came, Moses tried to get them to come out of Egypt and take them into the wilderness so they could forget the ways of Pharaoh, my brother. But the older people, like, see what your attitude right now. See, it's hard for you to give up what you believe right now. And I want you to understand that that's the kind of battle the older people in the wilderness face when Moses is trying to get them to forget the ways of Egypt. You face that same battle right now, my brother, because if I tell you that you got to forget Jesus, you ain't going to do that.
Right.
But I'm telling you right now that the Bible tells you that you are not supposed to have the same God as your oppressor, because that is an abomination. If you trace it from the beginning of the Bible to the end, that is the true story of the Bible, my brother. And if you find yourself in that kind of contradiction, no matter how much you hurt your feelings,
mm-hmm.
you got to drop that. But you know something, Baranku? They can't.
Well, I won't give Ms. Malinka.
Oh, okay,
I want to give her a chance to respond. So just wrap it up so she can respond.
Yeah, I guess I'm gonna right now. I see, brother Anku, that they can't take the truth in the Bahamas, you know, brother Anku.
Mm.
Because I was in a little group called 242, and then I started, you know, dropping some of the truth in the comments, not posting anything out the way, but just, you know, responding to certain people. And you believe that they restrict my ability to comment, post, or react?
In the group, would you start?
In the group of 242. I didn't start the group.
Oh, 242, I don't
know
you started. Okay.
They restrict my ability to comment now, even though I've been totally respectful in the group and that, but they can't take the truth. But instead of they respond to me and interact to me, and they can't take the hard truth that they put in there, you see? But Uncle, we are the age now, brother. We are the age now, brother, where we need to challenge those individuals in society, because we know what's going on. We are not little boys no more, Uncle. When right. we was a child, we spoke as a child. We are men now. We put away childish things. It's right. time for us to put question and challenge the individuals who so-called in charge of the society, because we know they're going wrong, and we need to stand up as men, Uncle, and we need to challenge them, because why? We can't afford to have this going on no longer, all right?
Yes, my brother.
Have a good day, brother. Thank you very much.
Respect, respect. Ms. Malinka, what's he had a mouthful to say, but what kind of stuck to me was this idea that, you know, we don't want to give up Jesus. We just want to hold on to the slave master's God. What say you to that?
Yeah, well, that's a big part of it. Jesus has been made to be the perfect man, right? Mm. And when you think about us as ladies, right? He's the man that can do no wrong. He's the man that, you know, is just die for your sins. He's the man that, you know, he has this great story, and he's the perfect man. So we don't want to give up that Jesus, because that's the closest we're ever going to come to getting that type of man. A man that they say is a song, I'll catch a grenade for you. Jesus is the only one that's really going to do it, huh?
Right.
So, you know, we don't want to give up that Jesus, because he's the perfect man for us that would do everything and has died for our sins. But when we, it's nothing wrong with Jesus, is understanding who Jesus really is.
Yeah.
When we speak about the Messiah, Yahshua Kares.
Aha, uh-huh. Go ahead. Because I want to be clear when I'm saying what I think the brother is saying. Mm-hmm. Are you saying you just painting white Jesus black? Is that what
no.
you're saying?
Explain. We're not painting white Jesus black. There's an actual story of the Messiah. He wants that the Holy Catholic Church to come fellowship with us and get more knowledge and information on our story. We have a story that was usurped.
Okay.
We have a story that was taken and rewritten, because one of the callers said that it was a thing of the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to understand now with cell phones and we're living in an information age, we have young people suffering from depression due to a fake image,
right? Wow.
So we can go back and change the past. Mm. They do it every day when they rewrite history.
Mm-hmm.
When they say that slavery was a good thing,
wow,
that's changing the past, right?
Yep.
When they make ancient Egyptians and they tell you that we were enslaving the Egyptians, and they're not telling you, I Egyptos, that wasn't us.
Okay.
We were the Egyptians.
Wow.
So we can write history, but it's not just about painting a white image black. It's about learning the story of the true Messiah, Yahshua Kares. Okay. It's about learning that they have no history. Mm. The Europeans have no history.
Mm.
So they had to write themselves into it, take things away, repackage it, and give it back to you.
Wow.
And because we don't know language, and because we don't know how to discern, you know, the truth from the fiction, because there are true stories in there.
Yeah.
But because they sprinkled the truth, we hold on to that truth instead of saying, wait a minute. But this truth doesn't align with this. Mm-hmm. This verse over here, now that seems a little false, mm-hmm. but we don't go into the language, and the language would tell us what's truly being said. Our Baba, our Coptic Pope, my teacher, Reverend Dr. A.J. Rama, he teaches us about the importance of language. Okay. He teaches us about the importance of knowing our story and how to look at the Bible through African eyes.
Mm.
The problem is, when we look at the Bible as it was given to us, it was given to us written from European hands.
Yeah.
So we're reading it that same way without putting on our African eyes and our African glasses to really see, wait a minute, no, this is our story.
Right.
Then we're only going to misinterpret it and think, oh, no, we're just painting the image black, painted the image white.
Ah, we're going to run to a break, I think. Can we take a break? Let's run to a break, then we're going to go to another phone call. I think maybe one or two out here. We got a couple more minutes left on the show. We're on with Azandi Malinke. She is a world-renowned podcaster, medical assistant, pastor. I mean, list goes on and on. Keep it here locked on 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Love the show? Start today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we're back here on 96.9 Guardian Radio on the show Guardian AM with C.A. Nuri. And today we have a special guest with us. My name, for those who may not know, is Dr. Cleveland W. Enes III, also known as Kahunanku Sara. And on the line today, we have a special guest, Ms. Azandi Malinke. And I want to make sure that you all, because she has some riveting podcasts. Miss Malinke, Sister Azandi, just tell them the name of the podcast so they can, set their alerts and know when to look for your show, and then we'll get back to the. I think you may be muted. Okay, we got you now.
How about now?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you go to YouTube as well as Spotify, and you'll see it coming up on iTunes and iHeartRadio as well, it will be The Vantage Point. Mm-hmm. But you will have to type in Righteous Jewels. Okay. If you type in Righteous Jewels on YouTube, it will take you to our page, and you will see that each Friday we normally air Friday Live, and you will see The Vantage Point. And we bring on different guests and different speakers from around the world. And so you have, if you're just joining, you have a lot of content to catch up on. Yes. And so, definitely catch us live every Friday.
Awesome. Well, let's run straight back to the phone lines. And we got a couple of squeeze everybody in as much as possible. Caller, you are on Guardian AM with C.A. Nuri. How can we help you today?
Hey, I'm cool. How's it going?
Going well. Thanks for calling.
That's excellent. And to Sister Malinke, did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. She touched on some very poignant issues, some from our past and then some that exist currently. Mm-hmm. I think the relevance for us here and even some other countries in the region, she mentioned something about other races having a hand in our enslavement. Mm-hmm. And that has its place, absolutely. But for a place like the Bahamas, and we see some of the challenges in some other parts of some countries that are very close to us. Mm-hmm. Today, and more relevant, we have more of a hand in our lack of growth, miseducation, and misinformation than anybody today. Mm-hmm. Is that based historically? And does it come from our enslavement 100%? But then, as far as moving forward, especially here, you live here, Anku, you mm-hmm. know some of the challenges. Mm-hmm. For me, there has to come a point where we look at ourselves and take some responsibility mm-hmm. with an appreciation for our past and make a decision to better ourselves, man. Mm-hmm. And while our history has its place, there's no doubt about it. Our leaders now, they look like us. They sound like us. They come from us. And they've somehow managed to master way more so in this time the art of oppressing and limiting us than the folks before us. Mm. So then what do we do? What's the topic of conversation?
But I want to give her a chance to respond because we only got a couple of minutes. I really appreciate that question and those comments, Ms. Malinke, if you don't mind.
Yes. What we need to do, that's the question, correct?
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand that.
What we need to do in the face of us oppressing us. That's basically what I'm getting from his comments.
Us oppressing us. Mm-hmm. Well, first off, we need to understand the system. We need to understand the programming. Mm-hmm. See, when it's about this topic, we get pushback. We get opposition as to how, you know, this isn't really, this is a conspiracy, or how it's not such a big deal, or how it's just secluded. It doesn't apply to everyone, or how people don't see color, or, you know, we get so much pushback.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to understand that combating the system of oppression has to be not just the conversation today on Guardian Talk Radio, not just the conversation that takes place during African Holocaust Month, but we have to live it every day.
Mm.
How many people are every day speaking the truth, speaking truth back into history? How many people every day are sitting down with the younger generation? How many people every day are going into their homes and taking out the racism, white supremacy? Because those of us who say that, you know, we sit our children in front of the TV with the white program.
Wow.
Those of us who say we need to do better still put ourselves in their education system.
Mm.
Those of us who say we need to do better still labor for them. You know, we still see the tax on the goods and see how much we're paying more than what we should pay, but nobody says, okay, how do we become in control of our narrative? How do we grow our own foods? How do we sell our own goods and our own services? How do we get ourselves from under this system of racism, white supremacy? Because it's easy for us to talk about it. But wow, when it comes to true liberation, liberation means that in all nine areas of what we call RELSEL REP, religion, economics, labor, sex, gender, education, law, war, security, and politics. In each of those areas, we have to be able to rule ourselves. We have to be able to preserve ourselves. We speak a lot about self-preservation, but we do everything that's destructive to us preserving ourselves. Mm. So the key is to become a part of something. Fighting for our liberation, then we're just another individual speaking about what we need to do for, wow, our liberation. And I'm not here to do that.
Wow.
I'm not here to be another person just to speak about it. I'm saying if you feel how I feel, if you see what I see, then you need to join the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah and say, this, how can I become a part of what you all are doing to help liberate us? How do I become a part of it? And it takes work. And
yes,
I think a lot of times what we do is we run from the work, because it's easy for us to talk about it, but to say, I have to now.
We got to thank our guests. Sorry to cut you, my sister, the producer's
okay,
looking at me. But thank you so much for joining us. I pray that all of the callers that got through got their questions answered. I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody. This has been Guardian AM. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III. And we'll see you next week with another great show. We thank our guests, and we thank those. Namaste.